Before we pray, I would like to read a word from Psalm 135. Here the psalmist says so wonderfully, and he begins already with a hallelujah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all the deep places. The sixth verse, I liked it so much. It's so precious. Sometimes you hear people saying this and that, and sometimes it sounds as if God has to do what they tell him to do. But here in the sixth verse, it is put so wonderfully, as the psalmist says here, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all the deep places. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Whatsoever pleases the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, sometimes you hear people say, God must do this and do that. But you know, he does what he wants. He carries out what he wants. And our God, he doesn't let anyone tell him what to do. Not by anyone. For he is Lord over heaven and over earth, and over all creatures, and over all people, and over everything he created. He is the Lord over life and over death. We all know he has conquered even death. Praise and thanks be to his glorious name. Then it goes on here, he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. We sometimes think, why are all these things? Why are they so horrible? But you know, when you see it rightly, everything is determined by him. And he directs everything, even nature. And so we can only thank God. Then it goes on here, who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders in the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an heritage unto Israel, his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. These are wonderful and comforting words that we can read again. Brothers and sisters, in all the words we have read so far, we see the activity of God, and that everything he has done is attributed to him. And we see he is still at work. He has not stopped yet, but he has spoken the first word, and he also speaks the last word. And so we are glad and grateful that we may be gathered here again this evening and perhaps respond with this psalmist to the admonition that he says here, "Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God." He calls us, this psalmist, to praise the Lord of Lords and to sing praises to his glorious name. And I think that is always our desire, that we may praise his name, and especially when we come together, that we may lift up our voices and lift up our hearts and give glory and praise to our Creator. You know, we don't do it for a person, but we honor our God, our Lord, who loved us. And I would like to say, we also love him. And because we love him, that's why we come and offer him praise and are so happy that we can speak with him. Isn't that wonderful? That is something precious. Who can understand it? Who will understand us? Maybe if people came in who are unbelievers, they would not understand us and would say, "What are these people doing? To whom are they calling? Who hears them?" But I think we, as children of God, we know who hears us. We know who is speaking to us. And I think already has he spoken to us through his precious and holy word. So powerful are all these words that it is impossible to express it all. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, "For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant." Indeed. And do you know, where the Spirit of God blows, there is sweetness, there is peace, there is joy. You know, where there is no peace, where there is no joy, the Spirit of God cannot be present. But where the Spirit of God is present, there is loveliness and gloriousness. Yes, there is worship, there is praise. There the heart is so glad and so thankful. Praise and glory be to his wonderful name. And we are thankful again that we may also come to the throne of grace tonight and bring worship to him. Let us rise to this. Father, we thank you for this hour of grace. Lord, we are so glad that you have given us this day again by grace. We thank you, Lord, that we may have this fellowship here now with you and with your people, O Lord. We thank you that we may sing the glorious songs, that we may do everything, Lord, for the glory of your name. O, receive the praise, receive the song of praise from the hearts and mouths of us all. For to you alone belongs all honor, all praise, and all worship. You are our God. You have chosen us. You have loved us. Hallelujah. You are lovely, and in you is only loveliness and lovely nature. May it be granted to us tonight. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is best to only go forward when you have a direct word from the Lord that you can bring. But every word of God is precious, and we can look at it and be blessed by it. As I sat there, the thought came to me, do we just look at what God did with others, what he spoke to others, or is God speaking to us? Is he working on us? Do we have part in all that He has done and is still doing in this time. You all know, we can look at the whole Bible from beginning to end. And then, when we draw a conclusion, we have to ask ourselves, what has God been able to do in you and me through His Word? So that I don't forget the thought, we have just now translated a sermon of Brother Branham. And in it, he says about the wind. He says, God created the wind. And as long as Satan does not get into that wind, it is pleasant. It brings coolness. It is all beautiful. But when Satan gets into the wind, then he causes havoc, disaster, and great harm. And I thought, this is actually quite a new thing, because I actually like to see when the wind moves the trees. I actually like to see that. But now, that was completely new to me, when Brother Branham said, God created the wind, and it is pleasant. It has everything in it that you need. But when Satan gets into it, then trees fall down, houses topple over, then great damage is done. And in the same way, he says, God created the animals. They were all peaceful. They were all tame. None of them harmed the other. It was only after Satan got into them. And he says, in the millennium, and that's what the scripture says, there the lion and the lamb will feed together. And the lion will not devour the lamb, but they will both reasonably feed together what is allotted to them, namely in the moment when Satan will be bound. But we are not so much interested at the moment in the wind that Satan is driving into and the animals that he is driving into. After all, we are here to look at ourselves in the mirror of the Word of God. I think it was Brother Rus who said, where God is, there is loveliness, there is peace, there is joy in the Holy Spirit. And the kingdom of God consists in that, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. If that is not so, what then? What then? And we have to put our hand on our heart and not read and listen as if we were thinking of others. I have to ask myself, to what extent Christ could take shape in me, to what extent He can live out His life through me. Although I know very well that all the servants of God were only able to do what God had ordained them to do. And we know, we will get to that one day. There is one thing on my heart anyway that still needs to be said, but at the right time. But if we look at the Holy Scriptures, John was a promised prophet. It was already written in Isaiah 40 and Malachi 3, verse 1, that one will come who will go before the Lord and prepare the way, level the uneven, lower the high, exalt the low, and make a highway for our God. But we read in the Holy Scriptures, He did not perform a single miracle, although he was the greatest prophet. That's what the scripture says, that no one was greater than John. That is the testimony of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, if I'm right. And the Lord even goes so far as to say he was more than a prophet. He was more than a prophet, not more than a man. He was not an angel. He was a man, but he was more than a prophet, insofar as he not only prophesied and spoke of Christ, but had the grace to build the bridge from the Old Testament into the New Testament, and to say of him of whom all the prophets prophesied, he stands in the midst of you, whose shoes latched I am not worthy to unloose. All the prophets had prophesied of him, of our Lord. But John did not need to prophesy of him anymore. He could say, he is in the midst of you, and I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We have to understand all this correctly. But if we were to ask the question now, and it has been asked of me, and perhaps of others, people don't seem to have seen much that God has done in all these years. And then one can only say, as the prophet in the Old Testament said, O God, open his eyes that he may see. When God opens our eyes to what he has done, then we can sing with a songwriter, Count the good that God has done for you, that meets you on your way. But one must have open eyes for this. In any case, as far as we know from the Holy Scriptures, John did not perform a single miracle. He had a completely different commission. And I once said, when the angel of the Lord came to Brother Branham on May the 7th, 1946, he spoke specifically of a gift of healing given to him by God, and that even cancer will not stand before him if he is sincere and prays. It is the Lord, we heard it in the word of introduction, who works his will in heaven and on earth. If we could all do what we wanted, what would that be? Yes, Brother Ruth said it. It would be a chaos. But when God can do what he has set out to do, then there is divine order, and then there is blessing, then there is edification, then there is strengthening of faith, then we hear God's word, not with our heads and minds, but with the Spirit and with the revelation in the depth of our hearts. And then we have a great gain from every word that is read. Here, in Corinthians, that was the last word we read. There Paul writes, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We all know God was hidden in Christ and revealed in Christ. both at the same time, hidden to unbelievers, revealed to believers. And so it is with the Word of God. To some it is hidden, to others it is revealed. And here it is still said of the mystery, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Here we think of the hidden manna, of that which was not for everyone, what was not in the outer court and not in the sanctuary, but in the Holy of Holies, together with the rod of Aaron, which had blossomed in one night. God had given a confirmation by grace. Here also the word predestined is mentioned. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Can we not say at this time that through the end time message, through the opening of the seals, through the revelation of the mysteries of God, God's hidden, mysterious wisdom has been set before us? Of course, the unbelievers and also the know-it-alls don't really care, because some have always known everything. I have not known very much. And I'm grateful to God that I could sit at the feet of a man of God, and thus at the feet of the Lord, to hear the blissful words of his mouth. And I believe, and I will believe it until the last day of my life, that God, who appeared in the pillar of fire and who was present at the birth of Brother Branham, coming with this light, with this pillar of fire into the room, and who not only confirmed hundreds but thousands of times being present in the meetings, I will believe it, that he was the prophet sent from God, to whom was given the revelation of the word and the will of God for this time. And all, it must be said very clearly, who want to stand their ground before God, must have a yes in their heart. And they don't have to think they can pick raisins out of a cake and somehow push the rest aside. No, we have to receive what God has given us in its entirety, as he has given it to us. Otherwise, we don't need to start at all. If we want to sort again, and this is revelation, and this is not revelation, and that is true, and that is not true, yes, then where do we want to start, and where do we want to end, and who is going to be the judge at the end? We are coming to a serious time, make no mistake, and God will have the last word. Here it is said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Yes, God even thought of the glorification of his people. That is something great. And I tell you, we who honor him and glorify him, the hour is coming when he will transfigure his people, transform them, and make them partakers of his glory. And we shall see him as he is and shall be like him. And here, right behind it, it says, predestined. All who have been predestined have been predestined that God's mysterious hidden wisdom, which was already determined before all the ages of the world, should we speak for our glorification. And this is what happened at the time of Paul. According to the measure and in the way it was given to him for the church. And he was the one who could say, the mystery has been given to me through revelation. And he concludes this passage with the words, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, namely the things which God has prepared for them who love him. May we be among those who love him. We believe that he first loved us. Otherwise, we could not love him in return. Only those whom he has loved out of the world can love him again in his love he has shown us by grace. Oh, may the Lord help us through this time in which we still have to wait by grace. You know, when you read the book of Acts, there wasn't always the advice on the spot or the answer at hand that perhaps the greatest apostles expected from God. And I just read very briefly today in chapter 21, the well-known passage that has caused me great concern for many years. And here it says in verse 23, Paul does come to Jerusalem, meets the apostles, and they report to him that everyone is saying all kinds of things about him, that he is against the law, against circumcision, and against everything, and so forth. And then comes a verse. This is verse 23. And it reads, do therefore this that we say to thee. It was very well meant. Do therefore this that we say to thee. Then it says, we have four men which have a vow on them. Them take and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are not true, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. Do you see what the apostles were concerned with here? They were concerned that Paul should now give proof in the temple at Jerusalem that he is for the law, as if nothing had happened yet. He is to pay for the purification. He is to fulfill a vow. The people are to be shorn, all according to the law, with the one intention, so that people know that there is nothing at all true about everything that is reported about you. Basically, Paul has long ago proclaimed Christ as the crucified one and has already shown the people that the law had its validity until then, and that Christ is the fulfillment of the law. But here he has taken counsel from men. If Brother Branham had not told me on December the 3rd, 1962, Brother Frank, don't worry about Paul's trip to Jerusalem anymore. It was in the will of God. Then I would still rack my brain about it today. But God led it in this way. And when Paul was finished with his thing, the doors of the temple were closed. And now the matter was finished. Now they had their law, their customs, and their habits, and they could keep them to themselves. The temple was closed. You know, with God, all things are wonderful. We may think, yes, here are people. They tell you what we advise you to do, so that they may all be appeased and know that you are a zealous man of the law. You go to the temple, take the vow upon yourself, and pay for the purification, and let it all wash over you, and then everybody will know. It didn't work like that. When you read later, their people from the province of Asia came to the temple, and they looked and saw Paul there, and said, "One moment, please. The man who has already turned the whole world upside down is now here in the temple and has desecrated the whole temple." You can read it later, what is written here. The ways of our God are glorious and wonderful, sometimes too high for us to grasp, too deep for us to comprehend. But God's ways are wonderful ways. And we simply have to say, realize that the Lord leads his saints wonderfully. The apostles wanted to save Paul's skin at all costs. He should simply still stand before the people as the man who had sat at the feet of Gamaliel, a man who knew and obeyed the things of the law. God had another way. You know, even if we take counsel, still the will of God will be done. As it is done in heaven, so it is done on earth. And that's what we heard in the word of introduction. Because something completely different has come out of the whole story than what this council was intended to do. Isn't that wonderful? Our God has glorious ways. Blessed is he who can submit to them and who can say, "O God," or as the psalmist says, "Commit your ways to the Lord and wait for him. He will bring it to pass." The story didn't look good, but God has made it well for the glory and praise of his wonderful and holy name. He does all things as he pleases, in heaven and on earth. And since we are on earth, and that is what he is concerned with in a special way for his people, for his church, let us confidently believe he carries out through the church what he has set out to do and will present her blameless, without spot or wrinkle, before the face of his glory. Washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, found worthy to come before him and enter into glory. May all these words that we looked at today from these scriptures, may they not be forgotten. May they sink deep, deep into my heart and into yours. It does not depend on your advice or mine. God is Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His will be done in heaven and on earth. And may His kingdom come with power, is the wish and prayer of us all. In Jesus' name, Amen. Praise and thanks be to God for all these precious words we have heard from the Holy Scriptures. In a moment we will pray. My eyes just fell on a scripture, and I just want to read it, two verses. It says that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? I think we started with a word that we are to bring praise to Him, and we can end with a word, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written in Jeremiah 9:23, He that glories, let him glory in the Lord. These are the words. It is so precious. God's word speaks to my heart and to your heart. And we don't have to be proud of ourselves. If someone thinks he is something more than the next person, he probably is nothing in the eyes of God. We cannot be proud of ourselves. We don't have to think to be something. Paul, such a learned man, such a wise man, he came with fear and trembling, coming on the scene. Why? You all know, because he had an encounter with the living Lord. And I say to all of us tonight, when you and I have had an encounter with the living God, then every pride in your life will fall. And then everything will come crashing down. Then Christ will take shape in you. And then you will no longer make fun of the other, and no longer put yourself above the other, and above this and that. No, then you will know what you have to do. Paul, he was a man before, who was great, had the commission, yes, could do this and that. But then, when the Lord met him, then it was all over for him. And we see, then even men, as we have heard, could no longer determine him, but the living God determined his ways. And I would like to say that our ways are also determined by him. Brothers and sisters, these ways we have to walk. And here it says, Him you have to thank that ye are in Christ Jesus. Not thanking a man, not me, not a brother Frank, not even brother Branham. Him we have to thank that he has made all things in such a way in these days. It is written in 1 Corinthians 1 from verse 29. I have read up to 31. May the faithful God bless us. May he bless his word on us. Brother Frank has already said, the word is given to pass it on. But I think it is his word, and we rejoice in every word, because every word has something to say to us. His word is precious to us, no matter where we read, whether at the beginning or at the end of the Bible, or in the middle of the Bible. You know, it is so precious to us. And I think we are not people that we say God didn't do anything on us, but we can tell of things that God has done in our lives. And with that, we don't boast, but we glory in the Lord. Yes, we glory in the Lord, because He has done the things in our lives. Who can do anything of us? No one. But He has done great things in your life and in mine. And I want to say, if He hasn't done it yet, maybe this is the moment He wants to do it. Just allow Him to do it. Just allow it and respond to His word. And then He will also come to His right in your life. His name be praised and glorified. I don't know about you all, but this hour has had much to say to me. His word has had much to say to me tonight. I look to no one. I look to the Lord. I look on His word. And it's so precious. And this is wonderful. Has the word anything to say to you? I think it certainly did. Oh, then the loveliness of God will fill your heart. It has filled my heart. I'm so grateful for every word and give Him alone the glory. It is thanks to Him that you are in Christ. Praise and thanks.